All right. It took some time, but the 80s Wrestling Kids are back just in time to do a year-end wrap-up. How's it going, buddy?
It's been a minute. it's all right. How are you?
I'm good. So anyone that's joining us, it's been 8 months, but we're back recording, and it's 2023. There's a lot of wrestling to talk about. This is Mr. Meanie over here in Montreal, Quebec, and my buddy Paul across the country there in Alberta.
Hey-o.
We're both in winter. We're both probably hiding from the cold.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ready to turn our electronic fireplaces on.
Oh, mine's been on all day. All day. So
we're a balmy -8, so we're not too bad.
That's exactly what we are too, -8. So, but inside is toasty warm, and we can talk about some wrestling because there's been a lot since you and I spoke last. I thought it was a good sort of like way to get back into this is just come in and do a wrap up for the year. We can talk about our favorite things, our favorite matches, our favorite people. You know, we'll go through some categories and share some of the our favorite memories from the year, and that'll get us sort of on the right track for 2023 and all the stuff that there's gonna be some awesome stuff this year. So I can already tell it's gonna be a great year for wrestling, a great year to be a wrestling fan. So
Can't wait.
Yeah. No better way to start than I think we should probably start talking about some tag team wrestling. Let's start there.
Yeah, we should.
So I know you love tag team wrestling. I love tag team wrestling. We've talked about it on here before. And it was a good year for tag team wrestling. So I'm going to dive right in and I'm going to list off some of my tag teams, my favorite from the year. I'll save who my winners were. But, you know, this was a good year for me finding some new ones that I hadn't really watched before. I can't go anywhere without talking about the Briscoes probably first. They're not my tag team of the year, but they almost were. They were so fun to discover and I'd heard so much about them. We did a whole podcast about one of their matches. So, you know, they came to the NWA. We got to watch a lot of them. I missed, you know, a bunch of their stuff over in ROH and AEW, but crazy guys just putting on a hell of a show. They seem willing to do anything to entertain the crowd and they always seem to be having a good time.
They're just crazy energy too.
Oh my God.
They feed off the crowd and the crowd feeds off them. Like it's a total cyclical energy that it's incredible.
So the Briscoes were such a joy to find this year. I really enjoyed finding them. And you know, they had matches with FTR that, you know, I watched them when they were in WWE. I always thought, you know, good tag team. I always thought they were really professionals but once they left WWE and they left some of the more rigid rules that they had established there and got to go sort of like, even though AEW is like, you know, a big organization, they still have kind of an indie feel to some of their stuff and their matches are just insane. So FTR, another tag team that really like, wow, those guys are, they look like they could be wrestling in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s, any decade, they seem to sort of fit the mold of just like an ageless tag team. So, I could see them in 20 years still wrestling and still looking just like that. They're going to be like Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson someday. They're just going to be still doing it until they both just like fall apart, crumble into dust, basically.
Absolutely. Well, and I think we even said on that run-in episode how, they reminded us both of the Brainbusters. So that's a great comparison of the technical. They've got that kind of snarky, snide, almost, you know, arrogance about them. But they're damn good.
Totally. Love that team. I couldn't talk tag teams of the year and not mention the Usos from WWE. They're like the longest reigning tag champs in the history of that company now. They hold both titles. So they have the SmackDown and Raw titles. They're part of the Bloodline, which is like probably one of the best faction storylines I've ever seen for going so long and just being like, typically week by week, the best thing that I see is something involving the Bloodline. It's just so entertaining. They've done things to make it interesting and grow. But at the heart of that is always the Usos. They are just an unbelievable tag team. Their athleticism is like what I haven't seen before. They really should be my tag team of the year, but they're not. But they should be based on how good they are and the year they've had you know, the amount of great matches they've been in and everyone they've beat. And it's incredible. But no, they're not my tag team of the year. So before I get to my number one, do you have any other teams that you're going to mention?
For me, being introduced to FTR was great because I hadn't heard of them before because I've kind of fallen off the WWE train a little bit. But yeah, they were really cool to see. OGK in NWA, they were good, like nice young team. They've got some accolades, not somebody I was very familiar with. Again, I think they came from Ring of Honor.
They did,
but they had held some belts and everything. But yeah, they bring a fun, innovative style, high energy. For me, La Rebellion, they are my favorite NWA team. So seeing them rise to capture the belt a couple times this year was great. And they had fantastic matches with the Briscoes too. Like the heat between those two teams was great and technical. And I liked the colliding styles because you had the kind of high flying luchador versus the very like kind of gritty, but still technical Briscoes. So I think that would likely be the only other team that really jumps to mind for me.
That's my team of the year. So yeah, without a doubt, it was just from their aesthetic alone, just from if I was 14 and I had never seen them wrestle before, the poster would be on my wall. Those guys with their heavy metal personas just exploding out of their bodies, makeup and leather and studs. And it's just all, that's all what I want to see.
When they came out at the Crockett Cup dressed in, they looked like Ghost, the black metal band Ghost.
Yeah.
The lead singer from there, I popped because I'm a huge fan of the band. So having that kind of collision of favorites was.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic. Technically, there might be better teams in wrestling, but just having that special something that you have to have for me as a fan, it's just like, no, they have that whole thing that they walk through the gate. And I just, oh my God, I just lose my mind every single time. So yeah. So La Rebellion, I think we both agree. Team of the year. All right. Awesome.
Well, Briscoes are actually my team of the year.
Oh, nice. Nice.
La Rebellion or like 1B. In that, like they're amazing, but just the Briscoes bringing the energy and feeding off of that rivalry with La Rebellion. So it was the perfect mesh for me. Beautiful. So
love it. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I say we jump into match of the year. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm all over it.
All right. So I'm going to give you a couple nominees, then you can throw in a couple nominees, then we'll say what our match of the year is. But if I go down the list real quick, there was Camille, Taya Valkyrie at NWA 74. Mm-hmm. That was just a banger of a women's match. Forget women's match, banger of a wrestling match. It was just, I remember I had chills. It was just like, and the crowd was so into it. They're both big and strong. I thought Camille would dominate and our Canadian girl Taya did so good. I love that match. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins, Hell in the Cell. Cody with his pec torn off his chest, like, you know, it almost could have been my match of the year just because of that. I'd never seen anyone wrestle with not knowing that you have an injury like that. And then using that as part of your story, like I can't imagine the pain he was in the entire match. And he was doing moves and taking bumps. And I'm like, not just like saluting him as a tough son of a bitch, but they put on like, you know, maybe if you take the injury out, it might not be that great a match. But when you add that factor into it, it becomes just like otherworldly. It was just incredible, but not my match of the year. There was an incredible match at Clash at the Castle. It was a UK pay-per-view for WWE that was Gunther versus Sheamus. These two tough Europeans, an Irish boy and a guy from, I think Austria is where Gunther's from. They just beat the shit out of each other for like 18 minutes. Their skin was red by the time it was done. They had done so much slapping and punching and it was most people that watch WWE agree it was probably the best WWE match of the year. That was probably the match of the year. It was just incredible. It was my second. It was like right behind what I think is my match of the year. But what were some of your matches?
For me, I'm glad you mentioned Camille because I thought she had a couple bangers this year. Like I thought the NWA did a really great job of bringing in talent to actually challenge her because she kind of was dominating and almost seemed untouchable to some degree.
Totally.
So I thought bringing in Ty Valkyrie, Kylan King, Max the Destroyer. That matchup was just absolutely brutal between Camille and Max the Destroyer.
Let me just I'll throw my hat in the ring right now for my discovery of the year. My person I'd never heard of and now I'm obsessed with, Max, yeah. Max the Destroyer. Unbelievable.
She's on my runners up.
They, because, don't forget, yes, they.
Yes.
They are incredible. Absolutely, yep, incredible.
Yeah. And just the fact that, they really put Camille through the ringer. Oof. And I wasn't sure Camille was coming out with that title. And
right.
Yeah, they are dominant in any match. They are the unstoppable force. So,
and so believable. Everything's so believable. It's like, wow.
And intimidating. Yeah. I love the theatrics, which is part of why I love La Rebellion, is they bring not only the skill in the ring, personality, but the theatrics. And another close runner-up for me was Nick Aldis versus Matt Cardona.
Oh, yeah.
Because there was so much drama and heat, and
that was a beautiful match.
The match was great in that it ended up where you didn't know where they were going to go with it, and there was legit heat between the wrestlers, and just there was a whole lot of drama going on, left you wanting more, left you kind of going through multiple scenarios of what could happen in the future. So I love that match. I thought that was great. And then just as a final quick one, I thought Natalia Markova, I will get her name right. Natalia Markova versus Genocide. That was a brutal match in the best way, in that, like, it was just on an episode of Power, but it was hard hitting to the point where they were pulling off moves where I legit wondered if they were hurt. It was incredible.
Totally. And Markova, she oversells in the way I really enjoy, where half the time I'm like, I think she died on that one. I think that's it. She's not like, she just ends up like in a pile, her legs, because she's a contortionist. She can just bend, and she's just in a pile of body parts.
So,
nice. We're probably going to agree on match of the year, since we did an entire episode on it and we haven't really talked about it yet. So FDR Briscoe's Ring of Honor. What was the pay-per-view? Something of Honor, the Ring of Honor, Something of Honor, I believe is what it was called. Just an unbelievable match. Like, that was I could watch it right now. That 30 minutes of just, even if they weren't wrestling, even if they weren't talking, just in the ring looking at each other was enough for me. It was, they were selling with their eyes, they were selling with every part of their body, and then they wrestled, and it was just insane. It was crazy. So that match,
was it easily final battle? Was that
no?
Because they had three.
They did.
I was trying to cheat and Google it.
No, I didn't see their. They had a dog collar match, which I didn't see, and they had a best of three falls that I didn't see. It was the one, the Ring of Honor, it's Something of Honor. I'm just gonna call it that. People can reference
that
people can reference our previous episode, the run-in episode, and listen to it. So definitely match of the year. I love that match. So fantastic.
We dedicated a whole run-in episode to it, but exactly, not to rehash things too much, but exactly, like, great energy. The buildup was fantastic.
Yeah.
They worked the crowd so well.
Oh yeah.
And they were doing things that I had never seen, where medics were running in and checking on them.
Right.
And I know. Just incredible. And that's why I say, like, I had never heard of FTR before, which, shame on me, because they are incredible. And I mean, both teams brought their A game, and as the cliche goes, iron sharpens iron. And this was on point, like, phenomenal.
And definitely,
I actually did watch it twice in a row, because the first time I watched it, there was no way I could just stop it every 2 seconds to make notes for the show we were doing. I'm like, I have to watch it, and then I can do notes afterwards, because yeah, and like you, I could watch it right now.
Yeah, exactly. So
phenomenal.
Awesome match. So cool. All right. So I'm going to jump us over to moment of the year. This can be anything. It can be a promo. It can be a spot. It can be just whatever stood out to you as a moment to remember from the year. I've got a couple of quick ones I'll fly through here. There was Brock Lesnar flipping the ring over with a tractor. I had never seen anything like that in my life. He pulls up in the tractor. Everyone's like, oh, what's Brock doing? You know, when he lifts the ring up and tumbles Roman Reigns out of the ring. The announcers all thought they were going to get crushed by the ring. Like, it was one of the craziest things I've ever seen done. It's so reckless and dangerous, yet clearly they also had practiced it and like made sure it just looked really dangerous. So that was a hilarious moment. Logan Paul did his Instagram live frog splash. He had his phone and did the move. Some people hated that. Old school wrestling fans, like I bet you Cornette hated that. But it's 2022, man. Shut the fuck up. That's right now wrestling. Like a young fan, a 19-year-old fan sees that happen, they're a fan for life, right? If I was a kid and I saw that when I was a kid, I'd be like, what the shit? Like it was awesome. So grumpy old men can be grumpy old men. That was a cool modern moment in wrestling, I thought. And they haven't done it since. It's not like they do it every week now. That was they made sure that was a special thing.
You sent that to me and I'm glad you did because that was phenomenal. Like
it was just wild.
Felt like you were, well, I guess in some ways you really were along for the ride. Like,
yeah. There's a guy that wasn't a wrestler that became a wrestler as a celebrity, but he was an athlete and he deserves everything. Like he got hurt, unfortunately, but he'll be back. And he is, I'm just going to tip my hat to him. He is a hell of a wrestler for a guy that's only had like 4 matches. It's pretty incredible. So,
wow.
Sasha Banks quitting the WWE. That was a crazy big moment because she's got this star power thing. She's becoming an actress, you know, Mandalorian. She's she's into fashion. She's all these different things. And she quits WWE. We weren't sure if it was because of Vince or whatever, but now it seems clear that she just had dreams to accomplish in wrestling. She's in New Japan and she's going for the title and stuff. She was at Wrestle Kingdom. So, you know, you can't wrestle big. You can't split time between New Japan and WWE. It doesn't work that way. If that was her dream, go for it, Sasha. I think that's fantastic. I'll miss watching her. She's amazing. But I heard that she was in Japan and I'm like, oh fuck, that's why she quit. That right there.
That's awesome.
Like probably to get away from Vince at the time and also go wrestle in Japan. So cheers, Sasha Banks. Cody Rhodes coming back to the WWE was huge at WrestleMania. You remember I lost my mind. I was like, that is so huge. And then he fucking gets hurt. So like 2 huge moments in the same storyline. So tragic. I hope he comes back for Royal Rumble. I hope he can, because like his momentum was like to the moon. He would have accomplished anything he wanted. So sad he got hurt, but I hope he bounces back from that. And I have one more, but I'll save my moment of the year until you've shared some of yours.
Okay. Well, I've just got a few to list. My viewership is pretty NWA centric, as anybody that listens knows. So it'll largely be rooted in that. The first moment that really, really like hit me harder than I thought it would is when Nick Aldis lost the world heavyweight title.
Oh yeah.
That was to big. Trevor Murdoch. That was a big moment. Yeah. Kind of had a feeling it might be coming, but then
after 1,000 days, right?
After 1,000 days, the man who's been synonymous with the company, been literally carrying the company on his back.
Yeah.
And then can't remember if it was the NWA power following that, or if it was the one, I think it was the one after that, where he came out and he and Trevor Murdoch seemed to have a legitimate, like heart to heart talk about the weight of carrying that championship, and Trevor Murdoch thanked him. And it just seemed like such a genuine, not put on moment. Like it seemed like they were legitimately in that moment and appreciating one another, which was great because up to that, there was, of course, they're going to build heat and rivalry up to the match. And then afterwards, it's the appreciation and backslapping, but it was a great moment that really hit me that I was like, holy crap. Like I got a lump in my throat just seeing like what that changing of the guard moment meant.
Totally.
And then consequently, sadly, following that, like I just said, a man that is hand in hand with NWA, Nick Aldis leaving. I was like, is this some kind of a storyline? Is this some kind of a work? We've heard it, like he just seemed so on the same page with Billy Corgan. And then it's like, no, this is legit. He's leaving.
I was really hoping it was a work because it sounds bad. It doesn't sound like a nice split. They kind of sound like they hate each other now, which is a real shame. we don't get to see any of that stuff behind the scenes. So I don't know how it went from, clearly he wasn't happy with where Billy was taking the company. I was not happy to see that happen. And like, I wonder with Harry Smith, like maybe that could have been involved in that, because Harry is not injured. They said he was hurt, and well, why is he wrestling in the UK and stuff? He's not injured. So he left, he just left the NWA. So,
and wrestling here locally at the local promotion Dungeon.
Yeah.
So
a little dissension in the ranks there. We'll have to see. Well, we'll get that with the crystal ball coming later about 2023. Yep. We'll see what's going to happen. So, it was an eventful year. Do you got any other moments, or do you want to jump in?
The only other moment I can think of is like one of the biggest moments of wrestling, which I don't know if that coincides with yours, but Vince McMahon leaving WWE.
Anyone whose biggest moment of the year isn't that is not paying attention to wrestling. Vince McMahon retiring from wrestling was what the fuck? Like that was like when George Lucas sold Star Wars. It was like, holy shit, everything's changed. It was huge. Like we're still feeling it. There's something else that we'll talk about in a few minutes too. So we don't even get to savor the moment of 2022 for very long. But it was a crazy moment, especially because the story was not good. Cover up money for illicit affairs and stuff. Like, I don't like that had to be, because it's legacy ruining stuff. It's like, oh, Vince, you moron, you know? Yeah. But then I don't feel bad either. It's like, well, then fuck you. You know, you'll get what you deserve. You have your legacy in the past for being the wrestling icon guy, but also hit the trail. It's time for people that are respectful and good people and good business people, hopefully, that will run the company going forward. But Vincent Kennedy McMahon, he is wrestling, right? And for him to retire, I'm glad that was your moment of the year too, because I'm like, holy shit, just rocked everything. It just rocked everything. So.
Well, like incredible. He leaves and what he built up. And like you said, unfortunately, the legacy he leaves behind, but not. And again, I know I said that I'm not a huge WWE follower. I mean, I pay attention to you and other things, but I also think it's good for WWE in that I felt like his creative juices were dry and they needed somebody else in there with new ideas and something that was going to reinvigorate the company and lead it in a direction that fans were excited about. Cause I didn't hear much excitement before that.
No,
it was almost like watching out of habit, not out of excitement.
Exactly. It was a struggle through the pandemic and through some of all the firings and the financial troubles they had. It was getting really ugly and it didn't look like he liked wrestling anymore the way he was handling the company. So hopefully the future can be bright, because you know they have so much talent there and they have all the resources. It should be as good as it can be. It's been really good lately too, so hopefully that's where WWE is going. So
hopefully it continues.
Do you want to do some tap outs first, or do you want to do wrestler of the year? Which way do you want to go? First you move the cat.
Yes, mute the mic because the cat's meowing. I'm good with whatever. We've been kind of dancing around negativity, so let's do some tap outs and then end on an upswing.
First tap out I'm gonna talk about is AEW versus WWE. I don't like having to have the fans feuding against each other as far as wrestling companies go. I'm sick of hearing whose ratings are better. I'm sick of hearing, that's what those companies want, is they want the fans turning on each other. We should all just be watching wrestling. So one of my biggest tabouts for the year is just, can't we just all enjoy all the wrestling? And it's great for wrestlers to have more companies to go to, but I get so sick of, oh, but AEW's ratings were this, and the fans in the comments trashing WWE fans. And it shouldn't be about that. It shouldn't be about us versus them. That's what wrestling is. Wrestling is them versus them and watching the matches. And that's my probably biggest tab out for the year is just, I want wrestling fans to enjoy all the wrestling. And I'm so sick of hearing about the war, the Monday Night War. That's what killed WCW, was having to have these two companies fighting each other all the time. instead of trying to coexist. And yeah, you're going to be, talent will be moving back and forth and you are competing against them, but it's not about eliminating or winning this war. It's, nobody wants that. Nobody wants one company to win and the other to lose. We want it all to be awesome all the time.
So, well, and there's no sense in being so tribal that you watch one and you ignore the other, because really you're only shortchanging yourself in that way, because you totally can, there's going to be stuff you like in both. There's going to be stuff you don't like in both. So
exactly,
you know, watch what you like. And if what you like is different than what somebody else is like, who cares? Let them like what they like.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
So yeah. So that, and I had a gripe about NWA pay-per-view cards, but I can probably let it go. I was getting frustrated with Billy booking the pay-per-view too far in advance and then changing the card constantly until you got there. So they would put up like, here's the matches, and I'd be excited about them. And by the time the pay-per-view came, none of those matches were happening anymore. And I wasn't sure what he was doing with that. Like, there'd be a main event, and then that main event was then a triple threat. That triple threat was now four. Then all of a sudden it was like, I'm like, what is going on? Like, he needed a little bit of consistency with his booking, I found, or that might be the strategy he was going for, but I don't know that it worked for me. But we'll see. We'll see how he handles it in the new year. And injuries. I am tapping out from injuries, because the amount of people that were having big years this year that got hurt, unbelievable. Like, it derailed so many great stories, so many great opportunities all across all wrestling organizations. There's always injuries, but this year, holy crap, the level, I don't even know where Randy Orton is anymore. There's certain people that have been gone so long, I don't even remember. So I'm hoping that this year, a lot of them can come back from injury, maybe take it easy a little bit. And like Big E from New Day, I hope that he broke his neck. Like, I really hope that he can at least come back and be involved in the shows. Even if he's not wrestling, that'd be really sad, because he's not old enough to quit, but we don't want him hurt either. So injuries is my number one tap. It's just too many people got hurt in 2022. It was rough. It was really rough. Overall, for the actual wrestling part, I think I'll stay pretty positive. I don't have any wrestlers to particularly gripe about. Austin Idol was off the air most of the time, so I don't have much to complain about, really. I'm good. Go ahead.
Well, and I think that's a really good point of the injuries, because I just think of like what NWA was building up with Cardona. And like I said,
Cardona, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Like the matchup between him and Aldis and what that was going to mean and everything. And he wins the title and he's hurt.
Right.
And they've got a pivot. And it's like, it just leaves you wondering what could have been.
I know. Yeah. I know.
As far as tap outs, it's all pretty minor stuff. Like, again, NWA centric. Austin Idol, part of my gripe is that just the inconsistency. I thought like he can be super annoying, which I get is his heel manager character, but I just think like I think they finally figured out to not put him on the mic, especially when him and Velvet would be on the same time. Right. Sometimes they lose track that they're supposed to be announcing a match. It was more about the heat between them. I'm like, just have a quick exchange and then talk about the talent in the ring. It's not supposed to be about you. And the thing that I didn't like is like, he would bring up legitimate good points. He would start breaking down the matches and asking good questions, but then get sidetracked with Velvet of like, oh yeah, we're not supposed to like each other. And, or she just wouldn't answer the question because, well, I'm not supposed to like you. And it's like, no, legitimately ask, like, okay, if you're this wrestler, how would you react in this situation? So I was like,
totally.
And consequently annoying. I just thought it was kind of clunky, them, his relationship with Sion. I'm like, he's the son,
the father, son. Yeah.
Whatever. So yeah, just minor things. And I think, kind of ending it again, a gripe, but ending on an upswing, is like, for a while I had a problem with the way they were using Tyrus as the television champion, because he was kind of, he wasn't really fighting, or they were just doing really weird gimmicky stuff with him just to kind of keep him on camera. And
they weren't following the rules anymore. Like, the TV title rules were out the window. And I thought that was weird too.
So then putting the strap on him, I guess, works, in that he is supposed to be, because that was one thing I thought of, like, he's the guy that's supposed to be unstoppable, but he's your TV champ. But what happens when he goes against your, like, world heavyweight champ? So I think they figured it out, eventually. We'll see how they use them. But yeah. All in all, kind of just minor little quibbles over the year, but mostly good.
Yeah. I was so torn on him winning the title because I really like Tyrus and I've been impressed with what they've been able to do with him for a guy that has such limited mobility for his size, no knees, all that stuff. But because of all that stuff, it makes it difficult for him to be the champ because he can't really go against most guys very much. It always has to be that he's sort of the unstoppable guy or hit me with the five finger death punch, you know,
kind of like Andre the Giant.
It's like, given that's why Andre never got the belt, right? You can't have a champion that's like that. And so people haven't been super happy with him being the champion. There's been a lot of backlash online about it. I'll be interested to see what they do with it. I don't know how long he'll be champ for, but I do like him a lot. I think his personality is great. His promos are great. I enjoy listening to him. I don't know where they'll go, but
he's great on the mic. Both, like, they had him for at least one episode doing commentary and I'm like, he's great. Like, he excels at whatever he does. Like, he is not a dumb man. He knows the business.
Yeah.
He's a smooth talker. He's a quick thinker. He's great. But unfortunately, the physical aspect of his game is breaking down.
All right. So that's enough tapping out. That's enough ranting and raving about. That wasn't too bad, I guess. We took it easy on wrestling. I think we took it easy on them. So where are we at here? Hey, you didn't mention anybody new. Who's your discoveries for 2022?
Like you, really, really impressed with Max. Max, I always want to say Max the Impaler, but Max the Destroyer. Right. Just Max. They are phenomenal, great presence. As I said earlier, NWA has done a really good job of rounding out like powerhouses to really challenge their women's champion Camille.
Oh, it is Max the Impaler. It is Max the Impaler.
Okay. It is the Impaler.
We're just on crack. I
confuse myself all the time.
Yeah.
But for me, and it's somebody that, and it goes to show you can't judge a book by its cover, but mentioned before, Natalia Markova.
Yeah.
She is my discovery of the year. And that came in and you're thinking like, okay, here's just another, you know, pretty girl. Can she wrestle? And man, can she wrestle? And she takes bumps. She takes hits. She's like, she's not scared to just take a hard bump or be gritty. It's she's really impressed me a lot better than I, again, judging a book by its cover. It's like, okay, you've got the pretty girl looks. What else do you bring to the table? And she's the complete package. Like, okay, maybe she needs to work on mic skills a little bit, but that'll come. She's got the foundation to be great.
Bit of an accent issue there too. So I think she'll work on that and be able to be a little smoother or find the way to deliver with the accent that just doesn't sound, sometimes she sounds a little like she's struggling to get to where she wants to be.
And I think they paired her with Taryn Terrell as kind of like the manager that can talk kind of in place of her. That was just kind of an odd couple matchup.
Yeah.
That,
I think that was to give Taryn some screen time. I think that's what that was.
Yeah, I think it was too. But yeah, no, Natalia is my discovery of the year and like the
awesome. Person
of the year. Like, she's great.
She can take that turnbuckle bump like Brett used to. Like, first time she did that, I was like, I actually gasped. I'm like, wow, just face first, just bounced off the turnbuckle. It was impressive because you see a lot. I see a lot of soft turnbuckle bumps in modern wrestling. They go in, they kind of jump in. They used to hit it and just bounce off it. It used to, which I'm sure was awfully hard on the body too. But not everyone wants to risk themselves that way. But
no, well, because you're right, it is a risk. But yeah.
Nice. No, that's awesome. That I actually forgot about her. So that's a good choice. All right. Well, I think it boils down to the kind of like at the Oscars when you get to the main award, the wrestler of the year. So my list has a little of this and a little of that. So I'm going to go over just some names, chuck them out there at you. People that are the runners up. So Cody Rhodes may have been number one if he hadn't got hurt. It was such a quick start. I was so excited because I've never he was fine before but his original WWE days. When he was on the indie scene, we discovered him on the 10 pounds of gold series. I was like hooked. I was like, this guy's awesome. Then he went to AEW and I didn't get to really watch him, so I was always hoping he was doing well. But when he shows up in WWE, I finally got to see like the presence and the confidence he has and what a showman he is. And I was just so excited to see what he would do. And it ended so quick. So hopefully he gets a chance, because he would have been higher up on the list. But and same with Matt Cardona. So Cardona, what a year he was having. He was mm-hmm. the belt collector. He was dominating yep. all the indies. I was all in on this guy. And, you know, he gets hurt too. So many injuries derailing what could have been huge years. And he still had like a great year in wrestling, but it wasn't, I'm sure, what he wanted. It was a disappointing way to, you know, he did get married twice this year, which is fun. I don't know if you followed that on Instagram, but he had
his
real marriage, like the actual marriage. Then they had the wrestling marriage where he ended up bloody and she's covered in the cake, and it's like, it was so perfect. It was just like, these two are living their best lives. You know, Roman Reigns, like, the guy has been the tribal chief and the head of the table and the dual champion for so long now. It just seems like, I don't know how they're going to take the belts away from the guy. Like, he's so dominant, but also so over. When he walks out, the crowd just never stops. Like, he is so over, it's ridiculous. So I don't know where the destination of this story is going to be, but it's going to be really fun to watch where it goes. Because from a guy that went from being booed out of the arena, he was so unpopular, to getting a serious, you know, disease and almost dying, to coming back and becoming like the biggest name in wrestling. That's the documentary right there, right? It's going to be a documentary. So, you know, Camille, she's the champion that will never lose her title. Like, she's the one-time champion of NWA. I never believe she's ever going to lose. I wouldn't care if she 10 years from now, she's still rolling, and it'd be like, ah, she's defended the title 147 times. Like, yeah, I don't care. It's believable.
She's got such a presence too, and she's really turned that corner from when she was in Strictly Business and the heel faction. And even then, towards the end of that, she was still getting crowd pop, even though she was supposed to be a heel.
Yeah. And like,
because she's just that damn
from
good.
The silent treatment she was getting to them figuring out what her character was going to be to where she is now. It's been quite the transition, and I've seen her just grow so much as a wrestler. I wouldn't be surprised to see her in WWE or in AEW at some point. And not that I think that that's like a step up. I think NWA is at that level, as high as you go at that level of the indies. So, or promotions, whatever you want to call it. So I could see her wanting to try to, you know, go into the bigger arenas and wrestle in front of the larger audiences, right? Because NWA, you know, I don't think Billy could handle that anyway. That's a tricky business he's doing a studio show, and then they do pay-per-views in larger places. And I think that's working for now. I don't want him to bite off more than he can handle. Right. So,
yeah, I agree.
Camille's future could be as bright as she wants. I don't know how old she is. So, but I hope we get to see her on her journey. I hope she doesn't go somewhere that we can't watch. Like, you know, Sasha Banks goes to Japan and suddenly I can't watch her wrestle anymore. So that's sad. But it's been fun watching Camille. So Kevin Owens is a guy. He's from Quebec. Me and Margo love him. He's so much fun. He doesn't look like a wrestler. he's like, he doesn't have the build of a wrestler. He doesn't have he's big bearded, sweaty looking. He looks like he should be backstage at a metal show, moving the drum kit and stuff. That's what he looks like. But he'll do anything. He has no fear. He's so comfortable on the mic. Like, his promos are like the smoothest promos. It's so much fun to watch him out there. And when you hear him interviewed outside of wrestling, when it's for real, he's just having so much fun. Like, he just loves the business so much. He loves wrestling. He's so entertained by the whole thing that it's just, you see the joy coming out of him when he talks. So he's on my list for sure. But it was a toss up. I wasn't sure which way I was going to go with my favorite, but my runner up, it's gotta be Rhea Ripley in WWE. She is, I think, on the verge of a year we haven't seen since China. I predict that Rhea Ripley is going to win a men's title this year. She will win either the Intercontinental title or the United States title, because week in and week out, she is kicking the ass of some guy, some male wrestler. You'll see how Ripley, I've heard just that's they've worked that intergender in for her, where she's destroyed the whole women's division. And she can also destroy so far anyone from the men's division that gets in her way. I think she's so strong. And she's just, you can see she's also having a good time. She's engaging with the crowd. She's a heel right now, but I could see her getting over too at some point, the way China did. So I'm predicting really good things for her this year, as long as she can stay healthy. So she's my runner up. I'll save my number one until you share your list. So go ahead.
Until I share mine.
Yeah.
My runner up and honorable mention is unfortunately somebody that I don't get to watch very much of. Thunder Rosa. I became an instant mark of hers when she entered the NWA. They did such a good job of marketing her and pushing her and really making her a formidable challenge, like completely different for Camille, but she has this energy. She's got this dynamic presence about her that I was sad when she left, but happy. Like NWA is this interesting promotion where, you know, aside from what we discussed about Aldis earlier, where when somebody leaves, like Eli Drake, and they, you know, that they're going on to like further their career, get in front of a bigger audience. And how do you begrudge somebody of that? You can't, right? Exactly. Like, you know, this is their career, this is their living. And I saw her match with Britt Baker from last year, and it was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, everybody was saying one, if not the match of the year, one of the matches of the year. And I believe it. Yeah. Like, just incredible, pushing boundaries. So she's a runner up simply only because I don't actually get to watch her. I see clips on YouTube and stuff like that. And
yeah,
she's one of the reasons I would want to get an AEW subscription if I didn't have to subscribe to TSN.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my wrestler of the year, you've already mentioned Matt Cardona, because man, I knew his reputation.
Yeah.
And on the indie scene of, like you said, being that belt collector, and then he comes into the NWA and it's instant heat. He's there to fix the company. And
yeah,
of course that's gonna rile the both the wrestlers and the fans up, but he owned it. And
he just dripping from his
theme song, that's just this irritating kind of new rock metal that I just don't like. It's such a well cultivated and crafted personality that it works so well. And I'm sure he's a great guy, but I just want to see him get kicked the hell out of in the ring. And
right?
He's so good. And just seeing that storyline get truncated, it just really is too bad. And I'm glad that he did come back a little bit at least, and he was featured in some fun matches with Rolando.
Yeah.
just silly fun stuff to kind of round him back into shape. But yeah, for me, he was the wrestler of the year because he really, really shook things up and had that instant presence and instant credibility.
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets another shot at WWE. I'll be honest, because he was Zack Ryder in WWE, and he had a good little, you know, it was a good run, but it was never like, I think he might have been Intercontinental Champion or European Champion, something. He might have held a smaller title, but when he left, it sort of felt like, oh yeah, we'll never see that guy again. And to him to reinvent himself the way he has, because this guy that he is now is not who he was before. I don't even recognize him at all. And that confidence he has now, if he wants to give it another try, I think that he probably could have another 2 or 3 year run. If that's something he would want, I guarantee if he wanted it, someone would give him an opportunity, because he's by far the most popular name on the indies right now that isn't wrestling in one of the big promotions. So he's, unless he's a total jerk, which I know he's not, I've heard him interviewed. He sounds like a great guy. He has lots of friends. I think he could take another try at it if he wants, but he might be content just having a blast wrestling in 20 different indie promotions and having 10 titles at a time. It does look just like a lot of fun.
Doing his own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good choice. That's a good choice. For me, I have to go with Sami Zayn as my wrestler of the year. So another Quebec boy. But to watch the progression of this guy from, because he's the size of like a, you know, a Shawn Michaels or one of those wrestlers that everyone always discounts at some point, going, yeah, they're good, but they're too small to ever be a main guy, to be the guy, you know. And his career progression was kind of that. He was in the Intercontinental title picture, right? And when you get put in the Intercontinental title picture, it's because you're either not quite good enough or just not big enough or whatever the reason is, but at least you got a title you can be mentioned in and you can get, you know. But he was always like, his promos were so, he's so funny. Like he has this comedic side to him and he's willing to do anything physically and he avoids injuries fairly well. So he was always great in matches. And I was always like, this guy, you know, I saw something from him. He was always very entertaining. But then he managed to get involved in this Bloodline storyline, which like the red haired, crazy looking white dude doesn't fit at all with the Samoan family bloodline. And that's why this is so amazing that this has happened, that he's the, I don't know if you know, he's the honorary Oos. Like he actually has a t-shirt now. They call him the honorary Oos. He's worked himself into this story where like last week on SmackDown, he almost got his ass kicked by Roman Reigns because Reigns is worried that Sami's becoming bigger than him now. Cause the crowd, when they come out, the pop for Sami Zayn is unbelievable. Like he's the most popular wrestler in WWE. Sami Zayn, he's the number one guy. Like if Vince was in charge, there's no way he's the face of the company, right?
Yeah.
You don't make this with the crazy beard and that's not your face of the company. But he is the guy that I think he's going to win the title at some point here. I don't know if it's going to be before WrestleMania or not, but I think like he deserves it. What he has done with getting the crowd on his side, and when he's in the ring, you watch his face, he never stops being in the moment and selling the story. Cause like NWA or any wrestling promotion you watch, the stories are great. And every once in a while you'll see a match with two wrestlers and you see that they're either learning the ropes or just not that good. And they are watching for the spots and they're forgetting where they were in the moment and, you know, adjusting their, like they just took a DDT and they're checking their hair and they're adjusting their tights. Like you got to remember, we're watching you at all times. Sami is just, I believe the way I did when I was a kid and we were watching Bret Hart and those guys, I never questioned that it wasn't real back then. They didn't show me, they didn't break character. Like if you
came their hand.
If you came from the dungeon, the Hart School, you didn't break character. That was, you never did. And I never saw that. And I remember like it took years before I started seeing wrestlers like breaking character. And it was like, oh, that's a weird thing to do in the ring right there. It's because they weren't very good, right? So Sami Zayn he's got a special ability for staying in the moment. And I just really hope that he can avoid injury and he can actually finish this ride because it's incredible to see a guy like him win over the crowd and be as over as he is right now. It's just, it's incredible. So the next like 4 months for him, it's going to be quite the ride into WrestleMania. So It's either going to be him in WrestleMania against Roman Reigns, or it's going to be The Rock. I don't know which way they're going to go with it. I think The Rock was the plan the whole time, like from like a year ago. Cause like Roman Reigns versus his cousin or whatever, that's your matchup. Wrestling fans determine story, and I think Sami Zayn has rewritten the story. So we'll see which way they go there. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I really hope Sami gets his chance to be on the top. That would be just absolutely incredible for the guy. So yeah, he's my wrestler of the year.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that's it for our categories, except for taking a little look at 2023.
Look into the crystal ball. Look
into the crystal ball. So. Big news last night. Well, I guess it came 4 days ago when Vince announced he was coming back to WWE. So the whole wrestling world groaned and sighed and went, what? But it was pretty clear from the news that he wants to sell the company. So he's not, I don't believe he's coming back to take over and make changes again, but I also didn't think he was going to come back this time. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not panicking the way some people are online. They're panicking about it. I think that it's Vince is just ready to sell the company. I don't know why exactly that they instead of like, you know, maybe leaving it to his daughter or you know, keeping it in the family the way his dad did. I'm not sure why, like what the purpose of the sale is. We'll find out. It's all going to become clear at some point here.
But because there's rumors that he's already a sale in place, right?
Well, that's been debunked. Well, it's all who knows what to believe, right? Yeah. It's also professional wrestling, so
so it might be worked,
right? Are we being worked or what? So the reports today were no, the Saudi deal didn't happen.
Yeah.
Who knows? I know that there's like Peacock's in play, Disney's in play, Netflix is in play, Amazon. The list of people that want to buy WWE is huge.
Yeah.
So I hope that it's someone like Fox is in play because they do SmackDown.
Oh, that's true.
So there's lots of people that want to. I could see Amazon doing it. That would be, and Disney doing it would be very interesting. That would be unexpected. Yeah. What I'm just watching it like I'm watching wrestling. So I'm an observer. I'm just like,
yeah,
all right, something's gonna happen, and I guarantee it'll be interesting. So
let's see where this story
see
goes.
Where this goes. Yeah. So, but I didn't think that was gonna be the first thing that we talked about for 2023, but Vince McMahon is back. So so that was the big news to start the year. What I'm looking forward to this year, there's lots to look forward to, really. NWA seem like they're going through a bit of a change of direction a little bit. Like this break they're on right now is unusual, taking like a month off,
like a reset almost,
right around when when Aldis leaves, and then they're changing their TV subscription deal, and now they're taking a month off. I'm like, that's a lot of, so there's something going on. But hopefully they know what they're doing. That's all, again, we're just fans. We're just gonna watch and see what happens. So I'm hoping that they keep consistent. They can keep the roster consistent, because there was some turnover, but for a while there, it was a very consistent roster of people, and it was growing. And they've had a few. There's been some turnover,
but which there's always gonna be.
So my crystal ball doesn't show me where NWA is gonna go, because it's a little murky right now. But I'm hoping that it all works out. Good for the fans. The live show is interesting. I wonder if they're going to go more towards doing live power. I'm not sure if that's, I'm not against that idea, actually.
Yeah.
Because the structure of power right now being pre-recorded, sometimes it feels a little disjointed, because you can tell it's not necessarily in the same order that they, like, there's no story for the episode. It's the story is only for the match you're watching, because the parts are coming from different recordings. They record in the same venue. They have the pay-per-view, and they just record a bunch of stuff, and then they cut together an episode. It means that episode doesn't really, from the beginning to the end, have much of a plot. Mm-hmm. Whereas they do a live episode, that's literally what that is. We'll watch what happens from start to finish. I'm not against them doing that. It's just live TV is a lot different than recording. So their pay-per-views are my favorite part of NWA. And those are all live. So they've shown they can do the live show. But pay-per-views also they're not story driven. Like, they're the end of stories. That's
the culmination of that story.
So we'll see if they can writing a story on the fly live and keeping it going week by week is a tricky business. And we'll see what Billy's got up his sleeve. So,
well, they've been really good about pivoting and being able to adapt when needed. And, you know, like, they were building all that momentum. They had all that momentum, and then the pandemic hit, and they took all that time off and had me really, really worried. But then they seemed to come out of it. And yeah, it sucks some of the roster people that they lost. But then, they seem to be building and building. But yeah, it seems to, like, you and I were even exchanging messages about the change in the subscription and, like, what's going on here. And I don't know whether the confusion was between fights or whether it was NWA, but it was like, oh, your subscription, renew it. Oh, it's canceled. Oh, it'll include this. Oh, it won't include this. And I'm like,
it seems, hey,
what's going on?
I think that, like, it seems to me this, and I won't harp on this TV deal too much, but I think that I don't think the subscriptions were as high as they wanted them to be for giving, like, the see it early and they're making it like a Patreon, basically. I don't know that they got the numbers that they were hoping to get. So by going back to YouTube, they're trying to, I think, capitalize on the ad revenue more than the subscription revenue. I think it was all a dollars decision, it seems to me. Because Fight is very, if your eyes aren't on Fight then you don't really know what's happening. YouTube is YouTube. Everyone's on YouTube all the time. So yeah. I think that they probably saw a dip in overall viewership just by leaving the, like, I bet you the YouTube numbers are just consistently higher than their fight numbers. So
it's not worth the money in their, the not worth having somebody's hand in their pocket
exactly.
for what they're getting out of it. Essentially.
Exactly. And then by making the pay-per-views pay-per-view again, I don't love that. it like, you know, I don't know that I'll get every pay-per-view now just because of the cost. We'll see how I feel about that. But I liked it being simplified and as a subscription package. So, but again, we don't know where they're going yet either. So it'll be a year of discovery for the NBA. Yeah. We'll ease back in and see where we're at halfway through the year. So,
well, and as I was saying earlier, just to kind of emphasize the point, like, they've been really good at finding their footing after major changes. So I hope that trend will continue, because I'm enjoying the product. Like you, the pay-per-views are my favorite part of it. And that is the main wrestling brand I watch. So I don't want it to go anywhere, and I'm always up for change as long as it's in the idea of progress and getting better.
Exactly. Exactly.
You have to change. Otherwise you end up like a dinosaur. Right. Yeah, totally. So, I'm hopeful where they're going, like you. It's odd to have radio silence where they're just putting out, like,
it's weird, right?
Yeah. Because I didn't honestly even know that they were taking the break until like this week when they said, oh, well, we're taking the break until the live show, here's some filler content. I'm like, oh, wait, what?
I know. It's a strange momentum thing to do. It seems like everyone's like, so looking ahead at the year, like, WWE has this big change coming and no one's quite sure what it means. NWA has got this big change coming. AEW, you know, they went through that thing a couple months ago where it looked like the whole thing was blowing up. That was one of those cases where I'm like, what's a work and what's not here. I was really like watching, reading the news going, are they actually in as much trouble as they sound like they are in? Or is this just them trying to build momentum? And I still am not sure, because those main guys, Omega and the Bucks and all those, they all disappeared. They all went off TV and they seem to really move towards this new group of people. So it made me think that maybe a lot of that stuff with CM Punk was real, like that there was a cultural problem in the business, but maybe it's all bullshit. I don't know. It's so hard to know. So I try not to get too like invested in what Meltzer's saying, what everyone's saying online. Cause it's like, we can all just be following along they're dancing the puppets and we're believing the whole thing. I don't know half the time. And it's also part of wrestling. All of this is wrestling. So not just watching wrestling, but following what's real and what's not in social media is all part of the business now. So I just take it as they give it. Yeah. I take it as they give it. And, hopefully I just hope that all the companies have strong years. They should, the future should be bright for everybody, but, maybe they all blow up this year too. Who knows what's going to happen. So
yeah.
Anyway, should be a good year. Hopefully we can be a little more consistent with our recordings here and, do an episode every month at least, and stay on top of things. So this has been fun, man. I'm glad we did this.
It's been great.
Yeah.
Been great to get back into the ring.
Exactly. So well, I guess we should probably wrap her up. Where can people find you on the socials again?
Why We See Movies at libsyn.com. I'm also Why We See Movies on Instagram, Facebook, if anybody still uses that.
What's a Facebook?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm Mr. Dot Meany on Instagram, and I don't even share my Twitter anymore, because what's the point? Mr. _ Meany on Twitter, but I keep waiting for it to go out of business, and it keeps going. So,
I gave up on Twitter long ago.
All right. Well, beauty. That was fun, man. And hey, as we always say, if you're looking for something to do, Paul,
go watch some wrestling.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Catch you later.
Peace.